So, this is a season where everybody seems to travel, right? Journey here and there. As I look around this morning, there's a lot of people have already gone, already left and gone to be with family and relatives and friends. Some of us are probably leaving in the next couple of days. We're going to be going. I don't know. Maybe some of you are staying home, right? Kathy and I are making a trip to California. So hopefully it's at least 3 degrees, at least a little warmer than today, you know, and that. But a lot of travel takes on at this time. So I want to talk about the journey that we all know, a journey of true worship. And we're going to look at this journey, this miraculous journey of the Magi, and we'll focus on them and see what they tell us. And what is worship? What does it mean to us, and how are we to respond to it? Now, I got a picture of a Christmas card, and hopefully I got it on there. There it is. It's one of my favorite ones. Always intrigued by these men, right? Traveling by camel to Bethlehem. One star dominating the sky, and they're coming over the hill, looking over Bethlehem. It's surely one of the most mysterious group of people in the story, right? In all the stories of Jesus and his birth, they seem out of place. When you really look, think about it, they just kind of materialize out of nowhere. Very little detail is given about who they are, except for their name. They're Magi, wise men, their nationality, all from the East. And I found that interesting when studying this. East comes from the word that means the risings of the what? That's right. That's where the word comes from. All right, so they come from the East. We know very little bit about their religious beliefs or their systems. And how did they actually know the meaning of the star? How did they know what it meant? And was it a real star? Right? They came, gave their gifts, slept for one night, told to go back another way, and disappeared. Sit. Gone. That's all we know. And sometimes it's overlooked. But their journey had a different purpose. It was a journey of worship. That's their total focus, was to come and worship Jesus. So this morning I just want to look at their journey and just tell us and talk to us about worship. So the first phase of the journey, true worship, involves commitment. All right. It says, Magi from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking. So they come into Jerusalem and they're going all over the city asking people, where is this newborn king? Where is this newborn king? You know, they're asking. And we have seen his star as it arose and we've come to worship him. Notice it is his star. Did you notice that? It's his star. All right? It's his star. I've often wondered, what was that star? Was it a real star? Was it an angel? Whenever I think about the star, I think, and I go back to the 40 years in the wilderness, what led the Israelites? God's glory and a fire and a pillar. Because it tells us it moved. And it came and disappeared. And then it showed itself again. So I've often wondered if it was God's glory that was leading them. The other thing, too, if you notice when you're reading the story, who actually sees the star? Think about it. If you read the story close enough and clearly enough, it seems to me that only the wise men saw the star. If you look and think about the story, nobody seems to know anything what's going on. Herod doesn't know what's going on, right? But I'm going to ask you a question. And if you were asked this question by some friends, family members, do you worship God? How would you answer that question? How would you actually answer that question? And what will your answer be? For some of us, we're just hopefully just going to say, you know what? Yes, I worship God. And hopefully it ends right there. I'm going to tell you that right now. because most of us don't want to go any farther because it's pretty technical. We begin to think of different things. But what if they keep pushing for more answers and poking for it? And you say, well, I do go every Sunday, once a week, spend about 90 minutes in church, and that's when I worship God. But is worship something we just do once a week? Or is it something, or is it something that we do all week long? I think that worship is all week long. I think that today is basically, shall we say, the icing on the cake. Right? If we have worship on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, today is the day of celebration. It's the day that we gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ and worship together. See, worship is a tremendous, especially for us as Christians. God created us for one purpose. And what was that purpose? And what is that purpose? To worship Him, right? To give our thanks and adoration and praise to God for what He has done for us, what He has given to us. Worship involves committing our whole life to God? Yes. And when we look at the Magi, we see men who were true worshipers. They're willing to commit their whole lives to worshiping. They became focused. And this was evidenced when they made their journey to Bethlehem. We don't know where their home was. All we know it was in the east, which means it could be in what is today Iran, Iraq, part of Afghanistan probably, or to India. In that area in there, that's where they came from. All right? Journey was long. In fact, in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it says, Mary gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger. So here we find the family. We find that they're in a cave somewhere or a grotto where animals are kept. But in Matthew 2:11 tells us that Magi entered the what? The house. So they've moved from a cave to a house. How long it's been, we don't know. We don't know. We know from the story that under the 2 years that King Herod killed all the boys. So he's under 2 years old, or 2 years and under. That's all we know. Long, difficult journey. It interrupted their lives. And some historians tell us to come from where they came would have taken anywhere up to 6 months in traveling. Can you imagine doing that? Taking 6 months to go to church? And I know some of us can get to church in a matter of minutes. And sometimes, as I stood up here for many years in pastoring and that, and I look around the congregation, I can tell some of us just got out of bed and just tore out the door. Right? In fact, I was at one church where I was pastoring, a lady forgot to take out some of her curlers. That's how fast she came out of her house. You know? So, but anyways. But you know one thing? We've got to realize that true worship is not always the most convenient thing to do. It interrupts our plans, our schedules, our agendas, our lives. It does so that we can focus our total attention upon and towards Jesus and worship Him. In all our activities this past week and throughout this season, do we spend time to worship? But are we so busy that we just forget about it? The Magi were committed to true worship. And of course, it was in their willingness to risk their own safety. As I said before, it probably took them 6 months to get here. They also tell us the journey that they took across to get there was dangerous. The road was littered with outlaws and robbers. But think about it this way. All of us have traveled somewhere to some place by vehicle, right? We get into our, load our car up, truck up, or whatever, put all our stuff in it, our kids in it, grandkids, and off we go. And sometimes we return home before we forgot something, maybe one of the kids. Don't laugh. My dad did that once already. It took him all, he got home, he got to where he was going, and turned around and realized one of the boys are missing. He had to go back and get him. So it does happen. But we travel. So when we travel, we go to Timmy's, pick up some donuts, some double doubles, and go on our way. Right? We stop for fuel, go use the facilities, go a little farther, stop for lunch or whatever, and go to a motel, nice king-size beds, nice bathroom, pool, jacuzzi, the whole works. These guys had to bring everything with them. Everything. If they wanted eggs for breakfast, the chickens had to be with them. All right? They wanted lamb chops, lambs had to be with them. All right? When they set up for the night, they rolled their tents out. They raked the sand first to make sure there's no scorpions or snakes in it. Then they put their blankets down for the night. They did that constantly on camels. And of course, the camels had to have their food brought with them, water and everything. Long journey to come. It committed their whole lives. It interrupted what they were doing. And they were so focused. It was that they wanted to worship Jesus. They also risked their own safety when they dealt with Herod. In Matthew 2:7, it says, Herod called them in secretly to him. Now, Herod was great, but he was great in sin and cruelty. In his rage over his family's rivalries and jealousies, listen carefully to this, what this guy did. He executed three of his sons. A wife, a brother-in-law, one of his wife's grandfathers, just because he thought they were a threat to his political power. He was married 9 times. Wicked man. My question is, would you go and meet with a guy like this? There'd be no way in the world. I'll be gone out the other side and out the door and down the garage. You see the cloud of dust behind me as I'm getting out of there. Right? You're guaranteed these magi had some knowledge of Herod's reputation, and I'll explain that in a few moments here. And they probably guessed that Herod wasn't too happy that they were looking for a newborn king, considering he considered himself to be the top kahuna, the king. And all of a sudden to have a rival show up. They were not afraid of him. In fact, Scripture tells it was Herod who was afraid. Look at verse 3. It says, Herod was deeply disturbed, as well as all Jerusalem. Why would Herod be disturbed? Think about it. I did some research on this, and I discovered that these wise men, where they came from, they at one time ruled Jerusalem. And it was Herod and the Romans who drove them out. And it says all of Jerusalem was disturbed as well. So this wasn't just three wise men. This is a large group of people who have come. Disturbed the whole city. But Jerusalem knew, too, what type of man Herod was. He didn't like the idea there was somebody else in the game. And he would have made life really miserable for the people. In fact, when he became king, after he drove these people out from the east, he executed the whole Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court, before he took power. An evil man. But you know what? They were so focused. They were focused on worshiping Jesus. It took so much out of their lives and their time and their safety. What a contrast this is for us today. At times we are only interested in worshiping when it actually fits into our lives. Right? But true worship involves whole life commitment. Every day, we need to set aside time to express our praise and adoration to Jesus for what he's done for us. And how do we do that? Well, how many of you guys pray? How many of you guys find it difficult? I'm going to put both up, because I do too. I find it very difficult. I feel like I'm talking to nobody at times, but I know he is there. But we need to learn to pray. How about reading God's Word? How many of you guys have a phone? A little. Okay, all of us? How many got two of them? Do you ever think about in your truck to actually put it on and hear the Scripture read to you as you're driving? And then to hear it in different translations? And you do? And you do it?
Not as much as I should.
Think about it. It's really encouraging. All right? How about singing something or hearing something sung? I was working on a big mansion in Cloverdale, now in the Fraser Valley. And there was a bunch of men working inside the house, and I was working outside doing the finishing work. And the guy put on this real rock and roll station. And it was unbelievable what was going on inside the house. I never heard so much yelling and screaming and swearing and fighting in my life. And the two guys that were working with me, I said to them, I'm going to change the station. It wasn't my radio. I went there and I turned it to Shine FM, Christian radio station. So all of a sudden, in about 15 minutes, things really got calm. Real calm. In fact, the guy that owned the radio came down and said, you know what? That's much better. And he left it alone. See, God's word, when it's being sung and played, it gives us calmness. It causes us to forget about our problems and begin to look towards Him. We also need to meet together like this. I know it's hard for some of us. Some of us, our work schedules demand that we work on Sundays. And our, like we heard this morning, we're so busy going here and there. But we need to slow down and take time to worship. We need to go ask God to help us to slow down so that we can spend time worshiping Him. The second phase of the journey, true worship, involves purity. And there's two areas of purity I want to look at. The first area, purity in our faith. It says, Magi from the eastern lands arrived in Bethlehem. They entered the house, fell down before Him, and worshipped Him. And they opened their treasures and gave Him gold. I'm just going to give you some more little tidbits about in this verse. Bethlehem. We know Bethlehem because of Ruth, Naomi, Boaz, David, right? Killed the bear and the lion there. We know that Jesus was born there. But if you go back to Genesis, you'll find something very interesting. Bethlehem was a burial ground. Interesting. And here comes Jesus being born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And from out of that place of burial comes life. All right? Treasures means caskets. Comes from the word caskets. Quite interesting, isn't it, when you start hearing these little stories and little words about what they mean. One thing we need to know is when the Magi arrived at the house, were they surprised? Wouldn't you think that a newborn king would be in what? A palace? Castle? Nice house? I find it interesting, they didn't even notice. It sounds like they just basically found the house, went through the door, saw Jesus, fell down and worshipped Him, and gave them their gifts. To him, it didn't matter where he was. They were so focused that they wanted to worship Him. I think these Magi had some ideas or knew about the Old Testament scriptures. We have to consider that the Israelites were in captivity in that part of the world for 70 years. And there's no doubt that they brought their scrolls with them. We know Daniel in chapter 9, he was reading the scroll of Jeremiah when he realized the 70 years were up. Daniel was a wise man. He was a Magi as well. In fact, these Magi controlled the political and religious life of their area for years. All right? They may have known about this prophecy found in Numbers 24:17. A star will rise from Jacob. A scepter will emerge from Israel. And this morning, I was reading scriptures this morning in, Psalm 72. And I found these words. Listen to this. This is quite interesting. I wonder if they read this. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to Him. The kings of Sheba will present Him gifts. All kings will bow down to Him. All nations will serve Him. Long may He live. May gold from Sheba be given Him. May people ever pray for Him and bless Him all day long. I wonder if they read that. I wonder if they did. But they came to worship. They saw the star that came, and they followed. They knew that God had come into history, They knew that something was coming. They knew the king was being born. The journey was long and dangerous, and it was evidence that they had purity of faith. In 1 Peter 1:7, it speaks of purified faith. It says, these trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire and purified gold. Your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tested, tried by flame, fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. God puts us sometimes into the fire to purify us. And in fact, I think all of us know the picture behind what Peter was talking about. How many ever seen a goldsmith actually do that type of work? No one's ever seen it. What you do is you take the ore and you crush it right down to a powder, and you've got a crucible. You put it into there, or gold nuggets, either one, and you put it on hot, hot fire, intense heat, and everything begins to melt. And as it melts, all the garbage comes to the top, and then you skim it off. The time that you know that it is pure gold is when you can actually see your face mirrored within the liquid. And it's taken off the fire. And it's the same with us. There are times that God puts us into the fire once in a while. And it's not comfortable, is it? I think some of us have been there, haven't we? You know, he puts us on there. That's hot. And it hurts. But he does it so that he can cleanse us. So that he can purify our faith. And the reason God does it is so that when he looks into that liquid of our lives, who does he see? He sees his son, Jesus, looking back at him. That's the kind of gold that we are to bring to God as we worship and as we talk to each other as well. The second area is purity in our love. And the Bible speaks of the purity of love in our worship. Matthew 5:8 says, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see Jesus. And then over Hebrews 12:14, seek to live a clean and holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Something happened in these magi when they saw that star. They knew that God had come into history. And when they looked at the child, they saw God. In fact, that our carol that we listened to this morning says, born a king on Bethlehem's plain. Gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never over us to reign. Their love was symbolized by the giving of their gold that they offered to him. In Job 23:10, it says, he knows the way that we take. When he's tested us, we shall come forth as gold. The gold to say our Savior wants from our lives is not only the purity of our faith, the purity of our love, but he wants a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice that is acceptable to him. He longs for our gold of our faith, the gold of our love. He longs for us to worship him in all purity. I'm going to illustrate something that took place in my life. I was asked to be a territorial salesman for a large window company in northern BC. And I was one of the men chosen and one of the people chosen to come down to the plant and actually tour it. I had one leg up on everybody else. I actually worked for the company before. But as I went down to the manufacturing plant, and in this plant they would have a place probably about as big as what everybody's sitting here, squared off. They had huge panes of glass on it. And there was a worker on a screen, computer screen, and on the screen was all the dimensions of the glass that were to be cut on this pane. And of course, it had a great big arm that went out, and it was a laser, a light. And he pushed a few buttons, and then off it went and started cutting all the different sizes that it was needed. But then all of a sudden, the light stopped and wouldn't go no farther until the worker went out there with a special chemical, sprayed it on it, and then the light continued. The worker explained to us and said that although the light was able to go through clean glass, if it encountered the slightest film of dust on the surface, the light would not penetrate it. It would stop. That struck me. And I thought, wow, what a picture of a Christian. The Holy Spirit is seeking to produce in us God's perfect image, His Son. If our life is clean, it keeps going. He continues His work. But however, if there are blemishes, God's work stops until that area is cleaned. The third phase of the journey, true worship, is costly. Not only were the Magi committed to true worship, there was purity in their faith and in their love. They gave gifts to Jesus. In fact, in Matthew 2:11, it says they opened their treasure chest and gave Him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And this is part of true worship. It already cost them much. The journey was long, it interrupted their lives, dangerous one, filled with suffering and discomfort. But still, they came to worship Jesus. All right? They presented their gifts that cost them a lot. Gifts fit only for a king. First one. Second one says, frankincense to him to offer have I. Incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, all men rising, worship Him, God Most High. Frankincense was used in the temple for worship. It filled the temple. It used during the prayers and praise. Now myrrh, fit for someone who was destined to suffer. Well, that guy had a deep voice, right? I don't know if I can do it. I'm going to try it. How's that? Myrrh is mine, is bitter perfume. Breathes life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying. Sealed in the cold stone tomb. He sings it better than I can. I maybe have practice, maybe I could do it. But anyways. Not your typical presents for a child, is it? What would you give to a child? Diapers, right? Probably some clothing, right? Blankets and stuff like that. But not precious metals. Perfumes are embalming fluid, right? But the gifts were expressions of worship, given out of the overflow of adoring and grateful hearts. They gave gifts fit for a king. They came to worship the newborn king. They gave their best. True worship is costly. It costs us something. And I often think of the story found in John 12, where we're told the story of Mary, where she comes into the guest room where Jesus is sitting, and she breaks perfume and pours it on Him, right? Perfume that was very expensive. Very expensive. Why did she do it? Jesus Himself said that Mary anointed Him for this reason. Leave her alone. She did it in preparation for My burial. I wonder if Mary knew all that. I wonder if in her heart she already sensed and knew that His time was short. She anointed Him before His death to do the doing of all that death involved. I think she understood more than what we know. Worship is costly. See, true worship is commitment. Whole life commitment. True worship is purity of faith. True worship is purity of love. And true worship is costly. And so we need to remember that true worship is about what He has given to us. And that is His Son, Jesus. The journey of the Magi should remind us that true worship is actually giving back something to God and what He's given to us. God desires ourselves. As we journey through this season, I challenge you to commit your whole life to Jesus Christ. Commit yourself to live a pure life that will honor Him. I think that there are times God is calling us, each one of us, to be committed in true worship. Not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. It's going to take some work, isn't it? Move our schedules around. Spend time with Him. There's going to come a day when Jesus will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we'll be with Him. And what will we be doing throughout all eternity? Worshiping Him. Let's learn to do it today. now, so that when we go into his presence, we will worship him with all that we have. Father, as we looked at this passage of the three wise men, not the three wise men, but the wise men that came. Father, they came to worship you. They came with their gifts. They came and gave their all. But more importantly, Father, they interrupted their lives. Help us to learn this season that we need to set aside time to worship you. In thy name, amen.